The views expressed in the following program do not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.
Live from West Babylon, New York, this is Sports Talk 1240.
And good evening, everybody, and welcome to Sports Talk 1240 on this Sunday, May 28th, Memorial Day weekend. Live from the studios at WGBB 1240 AM and 95.9 FM. In West Babylon, New York, I'm your host, Gary Harding, John Sweeney on the other side of me, and Brian Gray is on the other side of the glass. And for our hour, the first hour of Sports Talk 1240 tonight, we have a guest that'll be on the whole time, and we're going to talk about a lot of things in an hour, so we're going to try to get as much in as we can. This gentleman, who I have known probably since he was, well, let's say a wee little teenager in Brooklyn, worked with me on a sports New York website, and he has branched out wonderfully. He is a lecturer of English and assistant director of journalism program at Kingsborough Community College in Brooklyn. He also founded and started up a site called Review Fix, which we're going to talk about later in the show with video games. But he's also a big hockey fan, a huge Met fan, and perfect for John and I. John, good evening,
perfect.
Sir.
How you doing, sir? How's
good?
Doing,
all right, good. So listen, we want to welcome my friend Patrick Hickey. And when Patrick and I used to do this show called the New York Hockey Report years ago, he'd always come on with an interesting little voice, and I want to see if he pull something of that little magic on. Patrick, it's Gary and John. Happy Memorial Day, and how are you, sir?
I'm doing very well, Gary. How are you?
All right, Mr. Deep Radio Voice. All right. Well, listen, man, it's good to have you. And before we really get rolling, I just want to say, especially my tag team partner on the other side of me here, John Sweeney. Again, he served our nation proudly in the Army, and make sure on this Memorial Day weekend that you find someone who has served in our armed forces and thank them for their service.
Yes,
and wonderful job you did for our country. So I want to make sure we got that out before we got talking. So, Patrick,
thank you.
Let's start. We got an hour to get, and we have a lot of stuff to talk about. We're going to talk about.
Thank you for your service, John.
Thank you, sir.
And first thing we'll start talking about, obviously, will be the team on skates that we love the most, our beloved New York Islanders. Obviously, you write for the Hockey Writers website, which obviously yeah. You're covering the Islanders for us. And so let's just say we've got now 4 weeks till the free agency. The guys that were on the air on GBB just before us were talking a couple of sports with a couple of guys and put somebody in a particular position. We're going to put you, you're going to make you become the alter ego of Gar Snow. Okay.
Oh my God.
You are the general manager of the New York Islanders right now. A team that mm-hmm. just missed the playoffs, 94 points, missed by 1 point, obviously, had obviously some shares of issues with injuries and things like that, and you've got a player now that as of July 1 is eligible to be signed for a contract. Obviously, what you do there and what do you do to make the state of your team better?
Sounds like I'm in like a Keanu Reeves movie. You know, what do you do?
Hopefully it's a big contract.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Hopefully it is a big contract. I think this is the thing. A lot of people were talking this offseason about the Islanders were going to have problems scoring goals. The Islanders scored more goals this past year than they did the year before with Franz Nielsen and Kyle Okposo. So the goal scoring isn't necessarily a problem, but they're probably going to have to lose somebody in order to get more goal scoring. This is it's a weird situation because the Islanders have to subtract from the defense to get more scoring when I don't necessarily think they even need more scoring, but think about it this way. Do the Islanders have a bona fide number two center?
Yeah, answer to that is no.
Yeah. So if they could get Matt Duchene, that would be awesome. If they could get somebody that could be another quality top six forward, the Islanders don't have matchup problems with any team in the NHL. Every team, they send their best players out to play against Tavares. So if there's another player that can cause some matchup problems, look what Malkin and Crosby do to opposing defenses, you know? So Tavares scoring 65 points with that much pressure on him defensively is like somebody else scoring 85 or 90 on another team. They need to bring in another player that can score 60, 65 points on another line, not with Tavares, because, I mean, if we put another – look at what happened to Anders Lee this year. I mean, he's a great player by himself, you know, but he's a 20, 25 goal scorer. And then when Tavares heated up, so did so did Lee. So we saw a, I wouldn't necessarily say a Rob Brown, Mario Lemieux effect, but we saw Lee picking up his play. If the Islanders could pick up somebody that doesn't need Tavares on the ice with him to produce, they'll be a much better team. Thing is, though, they're going to have to subtract from their defense, most likely, to do that, and they're probably going to lose a defenseman in the expansion draft, too. So it's going to be a very tricky situation. I don't think the Islanders are going to have a very fun time this offseason. A lot of very difficult decisions are going to have to be made.
And obviously, looking at from a youth standpoint, we know, obviously, the scenario of Ryan Pulock, and obviously he's going to be a potential to be exposed. And you know, I know you talked about it in one of your articles. You know, you look at Pulock's play in Bridgeport was remarkable this year. I thought Calvin Dahn had one of his best years.
Absolutely.
Relatively unknown. I mean, he's the type of guy, if you're not talking about him, I think he's doing his job. So you're right. You're going to see somebody lost. Obviously, they signed Seidenberg to another year. I think he was wonderful with those guys, especially with DeHaan. I think he made DeHaan grow up into a much better player. But you're right. You're looking at the expansion draft, and it's going to be tough, you know, losing a core player like that. Obviously, even Hickey's got a possibility. You know, I mean, there's enough guys on this roster that could be not on this lineup when October begins.
Either way, it's a terrible decision that they have to make, because if they get rid of Hamonic, they look very bad considering all the stuff that happened with Hamonic last year and the fact that he wanted to stay with the team, but the guy's coming off one of the worst seasons of his professional career. You know, Hickey is super solid. The fact that he was willing to play forward at the end of the season says so much about him as a player and as a person. And like you said, too, DeHaan reminds me so much of Kenny Johnson, minus, like, you know, Johnson was a much better offensive player, and DeHaan's younger, so he could maybe develop into a better offensive defenseman, but you're losing somebody that's very good either way.
Mm-hmm. Now, Hickey,
I heard a little bit.
When Hickey was drafted by the Kings, he was a scoring defenseman. I guess that's why they stuck him up there.
And DeHaan as well. I mean, he played with JT in Oshawa doing very well.
Yeah.
So, you know, they know they have those abilities, and I think that's going to be an interesting, you know, flavor. But now, obviously, looking at more on the youth side, obviously, we know that they didn't, you know, that Garth did a little experiment with Barzal and it didn't work. They sent him back to juniors, and of course he averaged 2 points a game when he went back to Seattle and made it obviously all the way to the Memorial Cup, where unfortunately the Seattle team just kind of burst the bubble. But I mean, obviously this kid has to be here next year. You look at the way that Josh Hosang had a nice last final 30 games of the season. And I think he made obviously a good case for himself. Do you see any other guys, maybe possibly on the Bridgeport end, getting their chance to get their feet wet here?
I think Barzal is definitely going to get an opportunity. He has to. Mm-hmm. I think Dal Cole is eventually going to get an opportunity. I don't think it's going to be in the beginning of the season. I think he's got some holes in his game. He's still growing. He's got the ability to be a very good two-way player at the NHL level, but he's not going to be that 60, 70-point player that they thought that he could have been at one time. I still think he'll be solid. He'll be like a really good second liner, an excellent third liner, but I don't think he has that first line pedigree. Barzal, I love Gary. Like, I love those playmakers, those guys that score 15, 20 goals with an add 45, 50 assists, that love to dish the puck, that love to create. And Barzal, if you look at his numbers, he's like that. He's got like that Craig Janney kind of stat line, and he's exactly, if he can score, you know, if he can produce and if he put on a little bit of weight and toughened up a little bit, he could be that guy on the second line or the third line. And sadly, the Islanders don't have it right now. You know, they don't have that second line center that can do it. And they haven't had that second line center since Nielsen left. And you can even make the argument that, you know, they really didn't even have it when Nielsen was there, because remember in the playoffs the year before they put him on the same line with JT. They tried so many different things. They don't have that consistent deep. They have a deep offensive attack, but it's not spread out the way that they need it to be.
No, and of course, obviously, not having, you know, the kind of a fourth line that they had last year. You know, with Matty Martz here, you know, it made a difference. But I mean, obviously, you know, Clutterbuck had a little bit of a subpar season. Casey was hurt a lot. So I think a lot of, you know, pressure got put back on to the second and third lines to try to produce. And although we do say they did score more goals last year, it just wasn't that same sexy team that we saw, you know, two seasons ago.
Absolutely. I mean, everyone was counting on Ryan Strome to return to 50-point form. That didn't happen. Doug Weight totally reignited Ryan Strome. And then, you know, I was on Andrew Ladd a lot during the regular season, but, I mean, bottom line is he was playing injured the entire season and still scored 23 goals. It's more goals than Franz Nielsen scored. It's more goals than Kyle Oposo scored. And same thing you could say about Chimera. Chimera was a lot of fun to watch, man.
Yeah,
he really worked hard. And he scored 20 goals, too. And that was – they didn't pay him all that much money either. So he came in – they needed – it was the goaltending and it was the defense that ultimately let them down. But and that's kind of the reason why it's scary that everyone's talking about them pulling in, you know, for another top six forward when they should really try and fortify the defense a little bit more and, you know, shore up the goaltending. But the thing is, though, too, like we said, there's a chance they're going to lose two defensemen, you know, by the end of the summer. So this is a team that's in flux. They have a lot of decisions that need to be made, and it could either turn out wonderfully, like how it did a couple of years ago, where Garth just snuck up and got Letty and Boychuk out on a whim. Or it could be like, oh no, it could be like, you know, the Cleveland Indians in Major League, oh, they're crap again, you know, so it's going to be scary.
Because that division is a tough division, you know, Pittsburgh, Washington.
Absolutely.
Even though Washington, they choke, they can't get out of the second round, they are there every year. They, you know, President's, they got a, I'm shocked still about that too, but they got a monster team. It's going to be tough for the Islanders. It's funny, I just want to bring up one thing. It's funny how Ladd actually turned it around. After Capuano, and Capuano, second winningest coach for the Islanders, I really did like the guy. But when he went, Ladd stepped up his game. So, you know.
Absolutely.
But Andrew Ladd, truth be told, has always been known for having ridiculously bad starts. I mean, he only had, I think he had 3 goals last year on January 1st in Winnipeg and ended up with 25. So, I mean, he's known to do that. Right. So, I mean, it's nothing not expected. You don't want to hear it. But he's done that before. So he did exactly what you were saying about Chimera. I liked the enthusiasm he brought to the game. To me, he was a Michael Grabner breakaway that actually could score, you know, when he played with us instead of that team over at the Garden. You were talking about the goaltender, and again, we've all talked about it. You know, I think it was definitely, and I think if Garth could change his way and redo that disaster of this season, carrying the 3 goaltender head around, I think he would obviously do something different. Grice, I think, did as much as he could. You know, I think the attitude that Yaro brought back when he came back from his little Bridgeport stint, I think, was excellent. I think, you know, from people I've talked to in Bridgeport, he handled it like a complete pro. I mean, what do you think should be done there? You think that some team could want a Yaro Halak?
I mean, if they get the Yaro Halak that, you know, won his last 6 or 7 starts at the end of the season, absolutely. I mean, I don't think he's making that much money either. He's making like $4 million.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's not, you know, it's not like they're trying to get rid of Kuhlman and his contract, which is very similar, but considering the fact that, like, Halak could play 60 games if he has to, I mean, I think teams are definitely going to be interested in Halak. It's just the question is, what are the Islanders going to get back? Are they going to get something back that they need? And I don't know if a draft pick is going to do it. You know, the Islanders are pretty deep in Bridgeport right now. Do they really need another draft pick? They need somebody that's really going to help them now. Grice, I love the Grice signing, but the bottom line is Grice is not a guy that's going to be able to play 55 games. He's going to be 45 games. He'll win 25 out of the 45. He'll have an excellent save percentage. But as you can see, man, the last 2 months of the season, his goals against average all of a sudden, you know,
his save percentage, was almost 900 or under.
Because he had a great game, and then he let up a stinker, let up six goals. It was they needed Halak back there at the end. They should have called him up a little earlier.
If they would have called up Halak 2 weeks earlier, they'd be in the playoffs.
And you saw it. You know? And Wade went with him at the end of the run. He was just going with Halak the rest of the way. He's been there before. They would have been in the playoffs. I agree with you.
And think they're a team that ended up with 94 points, the same amount of points as the team that is representing the Western Conference in the Stanley Cup Finals. So, I mean, it's scary. And we'll talk about it in the next segment. Obviously, you know, you can you get that magical run and anything can happen. We all know it. We all know what the Isles did in 93 when they turned heads. You know, Nashville's doing the same thing, obviously, this year. So, you know, you can only hope that, you know, with that one more win or that one more, you know, like you said, if Locke would have came up a week earlier, it could have been the Islanders playing the Nashville Predators in the finals for all we know.
Right.
Well,
absolutely.
This
is another thing to think about. The Islanders signed Linus Soderstrom to an entry-level contract. That guy, he tied a record for most shutouts in the Swedish Elite League.
As a 19-year-old.
Yeah,
and he's got a nice build. I mean, his stats are beautiful. Like, they are super sexy, and he's making the league minimum. So if they get rid of Halak and then they give this kid 25, 30 games, I would much rather give him 25, 30 games than Berube. I think Berube's kind of worn out his welcome. I mean,
he's an RFA. He's a free agent anyway, so it doesn't matter. He's gone. But
he's going to start in the NHL somewhere.
Halak has one more year.
One more year left. But is that what you think? You think the Islanders should go into the season, try to trade Halak? Is that what you think?
Yeah. Why not? What I would do. Absolutely.
I mean, you got Soderstrom, you know, coming up. You got, you know, in 2 years, you could still get possibly Ilya Sorokin, who's got he's got video game numbers, in the KHL. I mean, you know, that's 956 save percentage that last year? That's just outstanding.
Yeah, and the playoffs similar. He's insane.
Yeah.
So.
And he's got great hands, and he's got a great attitude. It's just a matter of, you know, finding the right spot.
You know what? He might even come earlier because, I mean, I'm sure you guys have read the reports that a lot of the teams in the KHL are having problems paying their players. So, money talks. So, and, you know, he came into Brooklyn, I think it was for one of the prospect camps last year, and everyone said that he really liked it.
In Northwell. We saw him in Northwell. Yeah, he was ridiculous. He was absolutely ridiculous.
Why not, you know?
Yeah, but why don't they bring him up next year and just see what we got?
What, Sorokin?
Yeah.
They can't. He's still under contract to the KHL for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
He's got 2 years left. I think he can leave after one. He's got two guaranteed years there. But again, as Patrick said, two teams I think in the KHL are gone. There's a Serbian team that's gone and another Russian team that's gone. They're talking about dropping two more teams next year because, again, half the teams can't even cover their payrolls with the exception of...
And we haven't even talked about... Ilya Kovalchuk too.
That's another guy that could be a huge. It's a pipe dream at this point, but yeah, he wants to come back in the worst way. And the only teams he wants to go to are either the Rangers, the Islanders, or the Panthers of all places.
Mm-hmm. But I think about it. Him and Jagr. That'd be interesting.
that would be kind of.
I heard that with the dinners together about that Vasi kid that he wanted to come to the Islands and then he just disappeared when everyone goes to the Rangers, the evil empire over there on the other side.
Go ahead, John.
No, I was just going to say. So, all right. So, if the Islanders go out and Duchesne's a free agent, they're going to make sign him for a free agent. You think they can get him at the end of the year? I mean, going into the season?
Money talks.
Money talks, absolutely. And then the thing is, though, the Islanders are in a pretty crappy situation cap-wise until they get rid of Kuhlman and Grabowski.
Right.
And that's the beauty, though. Once they get rid of those two contracts, then Tavares... situation to give Tavares max money.
Well, remember with Grabowski, even though he's on the books, 80% of it already went off.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's only $1 million. I mean, yes, it's still on the books, but he's not playing. So 80% comes off. It's covered $4 million. So it's $1 million. It's not as bad as it could be. You're right. But Kuhlman's making $4.5 million and playing on the fourth line.
And that is 12 goals. Again,
there were points in the season, there were points during the year when he was just ridiculous. You know,
absolutely.
You know, he played like a 270-pound inside linebacker, but then there's some days he was playing like a 150-pound kicker.
This smells like Oleg Kavasha to me.
Yeah,
Russianitis. Anyway, so we need to, we're gonna do right now, Patrick, we're gonna have you stay on the line, we're gonna take a quick minute or two break here, and then when we come back, we'll have the next conversation, and we'll mention Peter Laviolette's team, the Nashville Predators, against should I say the real name? Should I say Cindy?
Go ahead.
Okay, Cindy Crosby and the Pittsburgh Penguins. So we'll talk about that, and we'll talk a little. We're also bringing up a little baseball in the second segment as well. We'll talk about that struggling baseball team out in Queens that we also love so much, the New York Mets. So we are here with Patrick Hickey for the next 40 minutes. This is Gary Harding and John Sweeney on Sports Talk 1240. We'll pay a couple bills, and we'll be right back.
You are listening to Sports Talk 1240 on Long Island's AM 1240. WGBB.
Country Foot Care, official podiatrists of the New York Lizards, have been delivering state-of-the-art foot care with good old-fashioned caring to Long Island residents for over 30 years. Specialists in sports medicine and foot injuries, Country Foot Care can be reached at 516-741-FEET or online at countryfootcare.com.
Want to advertise your business on Sports Talk 1240? Place an ad on sportstalk1240.com and run a radio commercial during the show every Sunday night here on AM 1240 WGBB. Our rates are very affordable. We'll even produce the radio commercial for you. Just head over to sportstalk1240.com and fill out the Contact Us form and let us start promoting your business today.
Unflippable, unflappable, unleakable. The Gust Buster is the only umbrella that won't flip inside out, rip, tear, or leak. Capable of withstanding winds over 55 miles per hour. All of our umbrellas are constructed of the finest quality materials and backed by a limited lifetime guarantee. What are you waiting for? Visit GustBuster.com and get your Gust Buster today.
Stay connected to Sports Talk 1240 by following us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Sports Talk 1240.
You're listening to Sports Talk 1240, broadcasting every Sunday night beginning at 8 p.m. right here on Long Island's AM 1240 WGBB, the station that serves your community. And now back to the show.
Alrighty, and back to segment two of Sports Talk 1240 with Patrick Hickey, our guest for the hour. We're gonna again change gears, but on Hockey Buzz, I just looked at the cap payroll situation for the Islanders right now. And again, right now the Islanders are sitting at $65 million for next year. They are the third from the bottom as far as, or from the most as far as what cap space has already been allocated. So that's going to be a big problem for these guys next year too. If they're going to give JT his $10 million, that's $4.5 million more than he's making right now. So there's your cap money right there. So having Halak and these guys, and having obviously Ladd and Boychuk and Letty with their high salaries, and Hamonic with his close to $4 million a year, they're going to be stymied to be able to make any moves.
I think you can almost guarantee that Hamonic is gone. I hate to say it like that. I love Hamonic.
Exactly. Great kid, but
he's going to have to go.
He's
going to have to go.
My opinion, Gotcha to trade him when he wanted to get traded last year.
You're absolutely
right.
That's
when should have got rid of him. You could have got brought a Taylor Hall or something like that back, and we would
Patrick,
have set.
Just think. You can sit in your cushy, professorship chair at Kingsborough and not have to worry about being a GM. But anyhow, yeah, exactly. But
This is the first cup with two American coaches on each end, and they're both from Mass up there.
Yep. And speaking of our former head coach Peter LaViolette,
very happy for
an unbelievable story of the Nashville Predators. I was telling John before the show tonight. I said after I watched the game one of the series against the Chicago Blackhawks, and how Nashville totally dominated that team from end to end. I just said to myself, you know what? These guys are winning a cup, and I have not wavered since April 15th. To me, I watched the last 10 games they played this season, and it just seems like their game just went to like a completely different level. And obviously they snuck into the eighth spot with 94 points, same amount of points that the Islanders had, mind you. And they just look like a completely different team. I mean, what are they? Do you think they're putting something in the barbecue sauce down in Tennessee?
A lot of great music over there. So
no doubt about that. You won't have an argument for me.
They get contributions from so many different players on the ice. They have a top flight goaltender. You know, they don't have really like that super sexy star at top. But like, I mean, they've got four or five guys that like can jump out at any time. And then the defense, I mean, Subban and Yossi, I mean, are fantastic. So they are a well coached team. They have players that can contribute on various lines. They're not dependent on anyone. So they are very difficult to play against in the playoffs.
There's two things I heard today. I don't know if you got to listen to it, Patrick, but they had the Stanley Cup press conferences on the NHL Network this afternoon. And it was two things that came to my attention when they were talking about Nashville, and it just blew my mind away. Number one, can you believe that they're in the Stanley Cup finals and they have had 18 different forwards playing for them in the playoffs so far this year? That's the depth. I mean, David Poile said it the best. He said, in order to make it to Nashville, you have to stop in Milwaukee. Every player that's come out of that national system has spent at least not 1 year, but maybe two, even 3 years in Milwaukee building their game up. I mean, especially, for example, Pekka Rinne played 3 years in Milwaukee before he had a chance to sniff the NHL. They are an unbelievably well-built system. And think about it. 3 years ago, this team had Suter, Shea Weber, and Seth Jones on defense. They're all gone, and they're in the Stanley Cup Finals.
Yep.
So like you said, Yossi, great story, unbelievable job he's done. PK, we obviously know all about PK. But to me, I think the unsung hero is Ryan Ellis. He has gone under the radar. I think he's got, five or six goals or whatever?
He's got four.
Four goals.
He's got 11 points, too. He's a plus seven. Got 43 shots. I mean,
the best Grizzly Adams hairdo beard I've ever seen.
Next to Brent Burns, absolutely.
Oh, no, his is groomier. Brent Burns is a disaster. But
Ryan Ellis, you could tell he puts beard butter in it. He takes care of it. Brent Burns is like that episode of Family Guy when Peter nests the birds in his beard. And there's like bird crap in it. That's what's going on there. Sorry, Brent.
Yeah, exactly. But you got to look. I just like the fact that, and it's always been a Nashville thing, and I think it's a David Poile thing, that he gets his defensemen to engage. You know, Peter Laviolette said it this afternoon. He said, I'm the type of guy that I want to see my defensemen get involved and get in and play offense. And we all know when he coached here, he had that 11-1 run or whatever to start the year, and they were scoring like crazy. They were getting contributions from guys like Super A and all those other defensemen. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to think.
Hamrlik.
That's what I was thinking. Hamrlik, right.
Even Radek Martinek.
Radek Martinek, that's right. But again, that's the type of, exactly. He brought that. He brought that to Philadelphia. He was getting a lot of good help from his defense there. And then obviously he's got a team in Nashville that was always prepared for that, and it's gone that extra step.
Absolutely. Like I said before, too, they're a lot of fun to watch. If you look at them, too, if you compare, playoff stats, Nashville has, I believe, seven players with over 10 points in the playoffs. If that doesn't say multifaceted attack, nothing else will. The fact that Mike Fisher has no points in 14 games and they're still in the final, that says a lot. And Pittsburgh is very top-heavy. It's Malkin, it's Crosby, it's Kessel, and then after that, I mean, James Neal only has 7 points in the playoffs.
But wait a minute! But look who's leading the NHL in goal scoring in the playoffs? Gensel.
Gensel. Some kid from the Children of the Corn.
From Scranton, right? And again, they've had to bring up a lot of. I'll give credit to where credit is due. Pittsburgh's had to bring up a lot of kids as well in the playoffs, and they've done quite well. I mean,
they missed Letang. That's a big.
They're saying it's possibly career threatening.
Yeah, he's a great player. That's huge for them. That's why I think Nashville's got a shot.
Well, and again, Murray had done a great job all year, and Fleury being the old guard, if you will, but of course had to step in 30 minutes before game one of the first playoff series, and he did a fantastic job. I mean, for someone who hasn't been play much down the stretch in the last 2 months, he definitely stepped his game up, and of course then he had the one bad game. Murray comes in, and we all know the rest is history.
I hate to be like a sour sport and stuff, but I was totally, totally rooting for Craig Anderson. Like, if he would have gotten to the finals, that would have been like a Disney movie. That guy stood on his head.
I agree 100% with you.
Yeah, Craig, I mean, again, great story.
His wife.
Listening to, obviously, the situation with his wife. And of course, the meme came out yesterday that she is cancer-free, which is fantastic news. That is so, I am so glad to hear that. But again, you know, they fell just a little bit short. And Ottawa was one of those teams that, you know, again, they were getting contributions from crazy people, you know, Jean-Gabriel Pageau with the 4-goal game. And, you know, they got help from all four lines. And they were just one little break short. You know, of course, a lot of people will say, you know, a lot of calls benefiting the Pittsburgh Penguins, but that's for
That's every year.
Bernie Nichols, he's my buddy on Facebook. I interviewed him for the Hockey Writers in the beginning of the season, and he was using some foul language to describe the
officiating
that I can't say on the radio because I'd like to be invited back one day. Was just interesting. It was very interesting, and he was absolutely right.
It's very true.
This Nashville run kind of reminds me of the way the Kings did a couple of years ago when they went against the Rangers and won the Cup. The Kings, you know, they kind of the same thing. They were a low seed, they were a high seed, I mean, and they came around and came back.
Well, you know, one of John's former broadcasting partners on Sports Talk 1240, he would when the Kings were having his run, he'd come in with his Jonathan Quick jersey,
and kind of rip it in, and Dustin Brown. And Quick, and those are my, Connecticut and New York guys, right?
Oh, man.
But
that was another whole thing with the Kings. I can't believe the upset, but that just, Lombardi and Sutter getting fired with two cups, that's crazy. 11 years.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of the same.
What have you done for me lately?
Kind of like the same, they got hired the same time Garth got hired. But only they have two cups under their belt.
But we got a first-round playoff one.
Yeah.
Got to go on something. All right, you know what? For the next 10 minutes of the segment, let's change gears. It's something we were just like disgusted about right now. The Metropolitans.
Thank God I just ate dinner.
You know, could you in your wildest dreams, you know, especially with all the talk that went, you know, obviously we all know in March, you know, what a staff we got. You know, these guys should go right to the World Series, and now you're just praying to God that finally somebody got to the eighth inning or ninth inning actually in a start the first time in 70 games. I mean, what is this? Why are broadcasters so happy that somebody finally got eight innings? I mean, would you imagine that?
I mean, at this point, I would rather be like a homeless dog than a member of the Mets bullpen at this point in the season.
I will say that's one except Blevins, I think, has had a great year. You know, he said little hiccups. He's done. Thank God for him, because I'm a little partial to those left-handed slow curve, you know, pitchers.
I'm not even necessarily saying that the bullpen's been terrible. It's just they've been grossly overworked. You know, it's
But you would never think that. But you never think that Noah would get hurt, Mats would get hurt, and Familia. I mean, those are three core guys. I mean, even though Mats, he probably was going to be the fourth or fifth start, or fighting for the fifth start, actually, anyway, because Wheeler came back. But Noah is the number one guy, and going down, and Familia, what do you have, 50 saves last year? I mean, that's, and then they just get decimated with injuries. I think Collins is doing a good job.
The good news is absolutely horrible. They are awful. So 7 games under .500, they're only 8 games out of first place.
Right.
So things can definitely change. Things can definitely happen. On the good side, I mean, Jay Bruce and Michael Conforto are poised on their way for 45 home run seasons. It's not going to happen, but it's sexy to think about. Now, you know, Jose Reyes and Curtis Granderson need to be selling like back scratchers instead of playing it's over.
I'll give credit to Reyes, because once he was batting 100, he's up to .215 now, which means he's hitting about at a .340 clip. So I mean, he has brought his game back up a little bit. I think Granderson's swinging the bat better. You know, obviously, you know, why did it take you 2 months to get your swing? You know,
he's another slow starter too.
He's Andrew Ladd times 10.
Yeah.
No, Granderson's got to step up his game. There's no excuse for what Granderson's doing. He's batting him lead off tonight. But Conforto's having a great year, like you said, and Bruce.
And he's got Michael Conforto. I'll tell you, being growing up a left-handed baseball player, he's got one of the most sweetest swings I've ever seen, and he's got a great for a kid, you know, from outer bumfudge Oregon or whatever, he's got a great attitude. Oh, he played for Oregon State. I know he played for a big baseball program, but you know, coming from out there, he's got a great attitude. He takes everything in stride. I mean, he's not your prototypical New York athlete, let's put it that way, but you know, I just hope that this career progresses the way it does. And again, it's the only good point that you got so far.
That's it.
Again, though, too, it's like it's so easy to look at this team and just get so depressed. But bottom line is, like, one good week, and they're right back in the swing of things. That week should have happened, like, this past week. I mean, the way no one expected the Padres to play the way that they did against them either.
Worst.
And then they didn't play well against Pittsburgh either.
Right.
So
mm-hmm. Padres, worst team in baseball. They should have blew them out of the water.
Well, I was at the Gazelman game, and I had an argument with somebody sitting behind me. You know, we're saying, you know, he threw seven pitches in the sixth inning, and I'm saying to myself, he's got to pitch the seventh. He's, you know, but he's up second. Terry Collins sometimes, I love him to death, but sometimes he gets a little bit crazy with certain tendencies. And he was batting second in the inning. Who cares? Put him up. You got a lead. Gazelman's throwing well. You know, he only threw seven pitches. He was only at 85 pitches in six innings. You can definitely shove him out there for the seventh.
Yeah, there's way too much. And we've had this conversation before. Like, there's just way too much attention paid to pitch count and things like that. This early in the season, it's still early in the season. For this kid to go, you know, into the seventh inning, that'll do something for his momentum later in the season. If you start pulling him out this early, he's never going to get the feeling that, you know what, maybe today I can go into the seventh inning. So these little moments catch up to you throughout the rest of the season. And towards the end of the season, when they need him to go seven and he hasn't yet, then we can look at Terry mm-hmm. Collins and go, see, that's what happened.
I'm sure you agree with me on this statement. I'm very pleased. I know it took 2 years, but I think Zach Wheeler is progressing quite nicely. I think he pitched a decent outing last start. He's doing very well. He's getting to that 6 and 7 inning level that you're hoping for. And I'll tell you, his pitches are nasty.
Absolutely. I don't think there's any reason why he can't go 13-10 this season. I think if he does that, that would be perfect. You know, I was reading an article today about how the Mets were considering trading Curtis Granderson for Bartolo Colon, and I just said to myself, oh my God, like, people are overreacting about how bad things are right now. Again, there is some hope. You know, there's a lot of things going on. A lot of people can come back, but when is Lugo coming back? Is he back yet?
He is pitching in St. Lucie right now. I think he's about maybe 10 days away.
Yeah, so I mean,
and Mats is 7 to 10 days away as well.
Mats is coming back, yeah.
Yep. So 2 or 3 weeks, and this could be a completely different, you know, conversation that we're having. 162 games, guys, it's a marathon.
And like, yeah,
and
exactly.
Like you said,
exactly,
you know,
44
like
games.
Right.
Yep.
We're only early in the season, and
we're almost a third of the way there.
Yeah.
Of the season. So
we got a lot of time to turn this thing around. And
yeah, we don't need to trade for, you know, Bartolo Colon. No.
Oh, come on. That's, you don't want to put, come on. I Patrick, I know you have a big sexy t-shirt. Come on.
I think
I have a lot of big sexy t-shirts, but I wear them, so that's why they're big.
I think he got bigger than he was last. I think Snacks got bigger. I was watching, and that's a small park down there, that Atlanta thing. It's like a beam, you know.
Oh, it's like the original Fulton County Stadium where everything just, you hit a pop-up mm-hmm. and it went out of the park.
Yeah.
And his ERA is like 5.69 right now. So he's not doing too well right now. So.
Well.
Go ahead, John.
No. I'm just going to say, like you said, we have plenty of time. And what's this? Noah's not coming back till July, I guess, right, for that?
Yeah, after the All-Star break, isn't it?
And then we have the Dark Knight.
Pitching right now,
Will Faber Hagen Jr.?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's so erratic. He's either on fire or he's ice cold, man. It's hard, especially with all of those surgeries, man, to find consistency. And he hasn't found it yet. He hasn't been the same player in 2 years.
By the way, so. Pittsburgh is up 1-0 in the second inning.
Fantastic.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. Fantastic is right.
Where's the second spitter? Is it Rob? Is it Roger McDowell? Is it what's going on here? Oh, my God. Seinfeld reference. Come on.
Yeah, I know. I got it. A little slow, but I got it.
It's all right.
All right. So, you know what? We're gonna take our second break if we can. And when we come back, we're gonna totally change gears here. Part of the reason we brought Patrick in is Patrick is again the editor in chief of ReviewFix.com, which, if you don't know about it, deals with the wonderful world of video games. And Patrick is coming out with a book in a short time, and we're going to talk about sports in video games and hear what's going on inside that man's mind. Again, we got Patrick Hickory Jr. joining us, Gary Harding and John Sweeney here on Sports Talk 1240. We're going to take a quick break and come back in about 2 minutes. Stay with us.
driving has a rhythm all its own. Don't wreck it with a text. Before you get behind the wheel, silence your phone. Or better yet, designate a texter. For more text-free driving tips, visit stoptextstopwrecks.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
Hi, I'm Dustin Lynch. You don't have to listen to country music to know that life can be full of drama. Some of it you just can't control, like your girlfriend running out on you with your best friend. But there's some drama you can skip.
Skip the drama that comes with not having your high school diploma or equivalency. Find free adult education classes near you and finish your diploma. Visit finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org.
You just need to take that first step and find free classes near you and start moving towards a brighter future and even your college degree.
Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ed Council.
As a doctor, I see patients every day who are losing their vision to age-related macular degeneration, also known as AMD. If you have blurry vision or blind spots, they can be symptoms of AMD, and if untreated, could lead to blindness. The good news? AMD can be managed with effective clinically approved treatments that may reverse some vision loss. For free AMD information, contact the Foundation Fighting Blindness at 1-800-BLINDNESS. That's 1-800-BLINDNESS. There is a cure in sight.
And we're back on this Sunday, May 28, 2017, Sports Talk 1240. Gary Harding and John Sweeney for the last segment, and Patrick Kickey, our guest for this hour. And again, as we mentioned, Patrick does a lot of Islander talk and Met talk and a lot of sports writing, but he is also a huge video game man. I mean, it's amazing that this young man in his, I won't mention his age, but he has a wife and a beautiful three-year-old daughter.
Congratulations.
3 months old.
3 months today, right? Is it today or tomorrow?
Yeah, 3 months today.
Three months today. Well, congratulations to that again. She's absolutely gorgeous.
But
again, he's a husband, a father, but he spends a lot of his time playing video games. And again, he has got a book that's coming out. Is it going to be out the end of this year, or is it still on slate for that?
No, yeah, it's most likely going to be out at the end of the year.
Okay.
So I sent in the manuscript about a month ago. So we're looking at the earliest in October release, and then the latest January.
The tentative title is, and it's a long title too. For the Love of Games, Cult and Classic Game Devs Discuss Projects That Influenced and Entertained Millions. I'll tell you, I love playing sports video games, but I am the worst, okay? I am like the 14th kid on a 10-man lineup, okay? I was a decent athlete growing up, but the buttons, forget it, I'm dope. I am completely dope. But I will say, you did send me some of the text, and it definitely, there was a part of me that, since I was at that time was in my early 30s and was just starting to date my wife at the time. So I was in that little video game mode at that point. You know, I was home, nothing to do. Oh, I'll turn on the game and turn on NHL 94. And NHL 94 to me, and you talk about it a lot, was probably one of the games that really changed the world of video games, because as you say, obviously you know, it was one of those games where you can really trade for players. You had all the different, you know, nuances, and it wasn't just a straight video game. Like each team had their own, you know, had all like the music for their, you know, from their building. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was one of those games that you just really felt like you had to play, you know. Like, for example, you know, when I was a season ticket holder in 93, 94, I would come home and play that game when I got home from you know, sitting in the seats. So if the Islanders were playing the Rangers at the Coliseum, I came home and played that game, and hopefully the Islanders did the same job on the real ice that they did on NHL 94. But, again, why don't you just tell everybody a little bit about your video game experience and really what got you into deciding to put this book out?
All right, so Gary, let me ask you a question. Who wrote Romeo and Juliet?
Of course, we all know that's Bill Shakespeare. My man,
all right,
Bill.
John, who sings Thriller?
Michael Jackson.
Yeah, they're like stupid questions, right? Like, yeah. We know these things, right? But do you guys know who created the NHL series for EA? The name of the guy? No. Right?
You know, I probably did read it when I got the manual, but do you think I remember it 23 years
Absolutely.
later?
Absolutely. So that's kind of like the reason why I decided to write the book, because all of these guys have lived amazing lives. They're totally dedicated to their craft, and they all have amazing stories, but for some reason or another, video game creators don't get nearly as much credit, especially the retro and older games. So like now, when we talk about modern games now, like David Jaffe and like Hideo Kojima, like these are guys that like their names are plastered all over their games. But the NHL series has sold tens of millions of copies.
Was
Pac-Man?
Yes, he was Pac-Man. I'm sorry about that. Yeah,
Johnny, okay. Surprised me.
There you go.
I love Pac-Man. I used to
tell us how old we are in comparison to you.
Yeah, I know that. All right, I'm sorry.
That's okay. But the whole thing is like these guys get absolutely no credit for what they've done. And in the situation of the NHL series, NHL 94 is considered one of the greatest hockey games of all time. But in order for us to get to NHL 94, we had to first have NHL hockey and then NHL PA 93. So the situation that led up to NHL 94 was just amazing. So like NHL hockey is the first hockey game ever made on the Sega Genesis that features real teams.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. No real player names, but real player numbers. So 99 on the Los Angeles Kings in 1991 would be who?
That would be Wayne, of course.
Yeah, we know that, right? So we don't really... EA was basically like, all right, we don't need to put their names in the game. So what happened was NHL Finals, 1991, Minnesota North Stars versus the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Right.
And EA decides to show off the game in the press box, and all the NHL brass is there. And Wayne Gretzky's character in the video game gets in a fight and gets bloodied. So the NHL loses their collective, minds, and they're like, listen, we don't want fighting in the game. And Michael Brook, who was one of the founding fathers of EA Sports, is like, we've already made a million cartridges. The game's coming out. It's impossible for us to take fighting out of the game. So the NHL is like, all right, so you can put fighting in the game, but we're not going to extend our license. So... Mm-hmm. Originally, EA wanted to have real player names in NHL hockey, but the NHL told them that the Players Association wouldn't give them, access, and it would be a big pain in the neck, and da-da-da-da-da. So now EA can't get the NHL license for NHL, what was supposed to be NHL 93, so they go to the NHL Players Association, and they're like, listen, the NHL won't give us the license, so like we're going to have to call the Islanders like Long Island and the Whalers Hartford, but we'd like to put player names and pitchers in the game. And they go, oh, that's great. And they're like, wait, what? So the NHL didn't even tell the Players Association the year before that they could be featured in the game. They took all the money.
Right.
So obviously the NHLPA was like, all right, yeah, sure. So now NHL 93 becomes NHLPA 93, and now they're still fighting in the game. But what happens is the fighting is so ridiculous and over the top that the NHL Players Association is like, listen, we want there to be a certain amount of fights. We want it to be up to, like, the league minimum. The league average in fighting is, that's what we want in the game. We want it to be as realistic as possible. So the developers are amazing guys, and what they decided to do is they knew the guys testing the game were going to play the game like a real game of hockey, that they weren't going to be playing like someone playing a video game. So if you're playing a video game and the whistle blows, do you still hit the guy on the other team? Sure, absolutely. So the testers that were playing this game were playing it like real hockey players, and there was only 1.5 fights a game. If you were hitting people after the whistle, you were getting in 4 or 5 fights a game. So what they ended up doing was they leveraged like what they knew real gamers wanted, and they appeased the NHL at the same time. What ends up happening, though, is NHL PA 93 comes out, and there's an absolutely wonderful game, sells millions of copies, but there's a ton of fighting, and the NHL... now is pissed because NHL PA 93 outsold the original game, so now obviously the NHL wants back in, and they said, all right, we'll give you back the league license if you take fighting out of the game completely, which they ended up doing, so that's the reason why there's no fighting in NHL 94.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just a small story. Like every single chapter, it's 36 chapters, 36 of the greatest and most unusual and unique video games of all time, from Mortal Kombat, NBA Jam, Yars' Revenge, E.T., And the hockey games are just a small part of it, but they're a big part of it at the same time.
Well, I'll say this, though, because I played that 93 game, and I used to play the hockey games. That was the cool part about playing it, where you bloody the guy up, and actually the blood's on the ice. It was the greatest thing in the world.
Absolutely.
And during that era, you had Probert, Domi. They had some, those guys were fighting back
Kenny
then.
Baumgartner.
Come on, man. That was, he was our guy. You know, Pilon, they were fighting back then, those guys. I mean, that was part of the game.
Right.
Not like
it's nowhere to the level of that it is, right? But I think, like I said, that game, to me, before I was dating Claire, I was doing a lot of hot road trips on my own and going to all sorts of different places. And when you played, for example, when you played the Hartford Whalers, you got Brass Bonanza. Mm-hmm. And there's certain music that you knew existed when you went to Buffalo, you had the music, and you even had the Islander, songs that were coming on, this typical stuff that you heard. And the cool part was, like you said, you're waiting for the face-off to come, and there's the music, and as soon as as soon as you hit the button, the face-off to drop, there went the music off, and the game went on. And the fact that the ice obviously turned color, as it got worn out, it wasn't the same look, so every little intricate detail. And that's the time, I think, where, to me, just watching the video game market just go to a crescendo so far up, because every little bit got looked at. And I think that's where, gamers obviously went to another level. And again, I was always into the sport games. I truthfully, I'm not into the first, first person, Desert Strike and all that type of thing, a lot of people love it. It's just not my thing. It is what it is.
But the football and stuff, they have tournaments like Vegas. They have tournaments with this.
Yeah, there's professional gamers.
Guys are getting paid big bucks for this stuff.
Have you considered going pro, Pat?
I'm actually, I hate to brag, but I run video game tournaments at a video game store in Brooklyn, Brooklyn Video Games. I'm actually 15-8 in competition, so I've actually won a couple, so I'm pretty good.
15-8.
The thing is, too,
that's pretty good.
Do you have a theme song that you come into?
Oh yeah, I come out to Cult of Personality.
All right, nice.
but the thing is, to get back to this, it's like, this game changed the dynamics of sports video games so much, because again, real players. Everything, it was like before, this was way before EA Sports do, if it's in the game, it's in the game. This was like the building blocks of that mega franchise that they became, And like I said to you, NHLPA 93 and NHL 94 played a huge role in the NHL strike, a couple of years after, because that was one of the NHLPA was like, guys, you're like robbing us of money. Like, we're commodities. People want us in video games. They want us to do this. They want us to do that. And the NHL was trying to, take away a lot of that from them. Also, too, another thing like to mention, because like the game is the book is a lot about the personalities that made the game. Michael Brook is an amazing guy. He's one of the founding fathers of the NHL series. He grew up a huge Philadelphia Flyers fan in the 70s, so it's like he wanted like that rough and tumble style of gameplay in the game, and he fought the NHL tooth and nail. Like, this was the first, guys, this was the first hockey game to ever have ratings of players. So he was actually like head to head with Ken Baumgartner, who was rated a 4 in the game on a scale from 1 to 100, and he had to explain to Ken Baumgartner why he was a 4 in the game.
Well, we all know
these guys. Yeah.
Just saying that he had because of his great offensive ability. We all know Baumgartner didn't score much and all that. Yeah, I mean, and that was the point. It was because it made the game almost as real. No matter what you did to simulate, no matter how you tried, the stats, if you basically put it on a whole season, they really weren't that far off from where they really came out. Well, a Gretzky would play like a Gretzky.
He was like a 99.
Jeff Norton would play like a Jeff Norton. I mean,
Yep.
I think Gretzky was like a 99 or something, right? Well, or 98.
No, Gretzky was like an 81 in the game.
Oh, he was.
Yeah.
Well,
lot of people were pissed off.
Oh,
you know?
Gretzky was in 81.
Oh, well, yeah, because that was the start. He was just starting to make his.
What was Domi at the time? And
oh, Domi, that's so funny because I look through that rating sheet like once a week. It's just so much fun to me. Like, Domi was like a 21 in the game. What happened was, after this game came out, the NHL Players Association went over to Michael Brook and they're like, listen, this is what we're going to do. The lowest rating a player can be is a 60. And Michael Brook is like, what? And it's like, yeah, you're pissing off a lot of the players, and the lowest rating could be a 60. So Barry Melrose played the game before it came out and said that it felt real to him. You know, and again, guys, this is 25, 30 years before the games that we play now, which are amazing. If you guys don't play NHL,
the technology,
you absolutely should. It's amazing. It's a great game. But this is 30 years before. Like, we're talking about pixelated sprites, and it's still totally, totally playable. Did you guys know that the game is modded, and you can actually go online and download, like, the current-day rosters and play the game today with
Yes, I have heard that, and I have seen it. I have not had a chance to actually play it. But, yeah, I mean, that would be so cool. And, again, the ratings... The rating system is what makes the game, I think, so good and so so believable, if you will. You know, it's not like, you know, you can, you know, you play these baseball games and you're swinging at every pitch. You know, at least, you know, in the game of hockey,
It's come a long way since the Nintendo with the boop with the remember the tennis and the hockey. They just had those little figures on there, like the snowman figures, just coming around. I used to play that. I used to play games all the time, man.
Yeah.
I'm gonna have to tell you, give it. Look, I'm a Marine Park Brooklyn guy. Give a shout out to Marine Park next time you're over there.
But I'm no problem. Also, like, I just wanted to say really quick. If you like hockey, you'll like the book. If you like video games, you'll like the book. If you like good stories about cool people doing amazing things, you'll absolutely love the book.
Let me just end because we got to get off in a couple minutes. Let me just end by saying this: I have known Patrick a long time, and I've read a lot of his stuff, and I will definitely vouch for that. If you like to read some interesting stuff, definitely check out The Hockey Writers. That's where you're on. Check out ReviewFix.com. All sorts of reviews on video games, anything, you know, regarding that world, he's there. I will tell you, you will never be disappointed with anything that Patrick Hickey writes.
And when's the release supposed to be coming out for the book?
It's going to be probably like the end of the year, around October, the latest January. So it's from McFarland and Company. They're a leading academic publisher. So this is the thing. It's like a professor writing a book about video games that's actually fun to read and entertaining for an audience.
We'll have to have you back when the book gets released.
Yeah, we'll have to make you actually come out to Long Island to do the show.
Absolutely. Gary, is it okay if I give one more shout-out?
You absolutely can. You got to do it quick because we're off in about 3 minutes.
No problem. So my next book I'm actually starting to write is actually about professional wrestling, and it's about, like, the trials and tribulations of the men and women in professional wrestling, emotional and physical. So along the way, like, I started working with a Brooklyn-based and Bronx-based wrestling promotion, Battle Cup Pro, and they're giving me great access to their guys, and they're, like, a super fun promotion. They've got their next show on August 11th in Brooklyn, and they got some former WWE guys, TNA, ROH. So that's, like, my next journey. So I'm going from video games to wrestling, and I hope
George the Animal Steel
adventure.
George the Animal Steel, any of those guys coming up? I don't even know if he's alive.
I think like Bob Backlund, Diamond Dallas.
Oh, those guys are big.
I'm ready. I'm ready for the next adventure.
Well, like I said, if you want to reach out to Pat on Twitter, he's at @ReviewFix. And listen, Patrick, we appreciate the hour. It went so quick, and we really, you know how much I think about you, my brother. So anytime,
thank you.
Anytime, like I said, when the book comes out, we definitely want you to come in studio and talk about it. All right.
Sounds great, man. Thank you very much for your time.
Well, listen, you have a great rest of your weekend, and we'll chat soon. All right.
Excellent. Thank you, guys.
All right. Thanks take care, Pat.
Happy Memorial Day.
Happy Memorial Day, everybody.
All right. So we got, like I said, about 1 minute left, right? Yeah. So listen, John, quick hour. Thank you very much. Again, thank you very much for what you've done. And make sure you thank any veteran who served, no matter where, no matter what, because without them, we wouldn't have the society and the life that we have right now. The second hour of Sports Talk 1240 with Mike Favallo is coming up next. Make sure you check it out. And for John Sweeney, this is Gary Harding, and the words of my old friend Bill Hayes. Keep skating, everybody, and have a great Memorial Day.
Expressed in the previous program did not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.